First lesson is from the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord. The Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Finding true comfort can be a rather complicated process at times. There are moments in life that we definitely need peace and consolation, so we return to the tried and true. Things that have always made us feel at least a little better, but even they aren't a match sometimes for our pain, for our anxiety, our uncertainty. Whether it is my own personal life or the many different journeys I've been on with so many different people, experiencing unspeakable things I know too well, that those moments echo what you may be familiar with from the long-told story of Ebenezer Scrooge. Early in the story, as he sees the apparition of his former partner, Jacob Marley, who only has awful, judgmental, excruciating things to say, Scrooge pleads with him, "Speak peace to me, Jacob." We've all had those moments where we're looking for someone in the room, someone in our life, to speak peace, to speak comfort, to speak hope. If we believe the marketing efforts, a big bowl of macaroni and cheese might do the trick. Or maybe it's that very hot, very long bubble bath that takes the world away. Or it could be as simple as a very expensive but very tasty cup of coffee. Have any of those ever worked for you in the truly challenging moments where you're grasping at anything and everything that could give you a little peace? But you and I know far too painfully that when the moment requiring comfort involves our sin and guilt, nothing. Nothing anyone else will suggest or say will ever move the needle all that much, at least. It's important for you and me to keep reading these verses that we have from Isaiah as the prophet explains how God goes about comforting us. Notice what he points to. God's best and lasting comfort. Check out the very next phrase, where he has redeemed Jerusalem. And the true comfort of redemption from sin, death, Satan, and hell itself is really what Christmas is all about. There is no gift that you could ever unwrap that could possibly be as important or as powerful for the rest of your life, for your eternity, ever proving more valuable than the existence of the gift of redemption through Christ Jesus, with which your Savior God intends to comfort you on this particular day. If you were to look throughout the different years in the church calendar, the different sequences of lessons, you would find that our landing in Isaiah for our Old Testament lesson today is not by far the only reference to God's comfort, God's redemption, God's salvation being the difference maker in our thinking and contemplating and praising this day. Redemption is a word we use very differently today than was the intention of the prophet in those ancient days that he wrote. More often today, people tout their intention to redeem themselves from some failure, some moment that they wish they could have back. Maybe even redeem themselves in a very important relationship that they are the ones that have caused to break. But that's not the way the word is used here. The way the word is used here would clearly be impossible for any human being to act in any way that would bring about the reconciliation and redemption required. One very significant reason the connection is made here and elsewhere in Scripture between true and lasting peace and God's redemption, God's gift of redemption, is that simple fact that God is the only one who can truly provide the kind of redemption the prophet is referring to here. To redeem in the ancient sense is to act in a way that compensates, that pays to someone a ransom price for the purpose of completely freeing someone from slavery, oppression, or some other form of bondage. In ancient times, whole nations could easily find themselves in this predicament as a result of warfare and being carried off into exile. No longer citizens, not just physically, but in every other way of the nation they once were, now subjected as tenants and slaves of a new place, a new nation, a new ruler, who would only use and abuse and subject them to all kinds of things they would rather not experience. But there's no one to save them from that reality. Individuals could equally find themselves in desperate need of redemption. There were times that it was marauding bandits that would come through, especially at harvest time, and not just take all of your crops and everything that you had established for the next winter season to keep you and your family well fed, but they might take members of your family, they might take you as the head of the family and hold you for ransom with the goal of getting even more from your family or your clan than what you had available on that day they made their violent entry into your life. Many people found themselves needing redemption because of crime they had committed or debt that they had incurred. Many heads of household would actually sell themselves first into indentured servitude with the hope that their efforts to whoever was willing to buy their debt over a course of time would be enough to repay. But so often that wasn't what happened at all. That sooner or later, the next most valuable person in their household would also have to be subjected to that oppression and slavery. And it was a diminishing proposition from that point forward that the entire family likely could not find their way free. If you read the history of our own country, you will discover that in the early centuries of settlement in this country, there were all kinds of immigrants that were here specifically under the oppression of indentured servitude. If for nothing else, the payment of their passage to this new world for a new beginning, with some 2, 3, 10-year note attached to their time here in this new land before they were truly ransomed and redeemed, free to address life with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities that this land touted to them. More often than not, it would take an outside resource, apart from the family, apart from the nation, to finally pay the ransom and bring about freedom and life. With all that in mind, look what the prophet is telling you. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Let there be no doubt that as the prophet speaks these words, as he writes them for you and me all these years later, to be known and heard and understood on a day such as this, he is speaking of that birth at Bethlehem. Earlier, he has told us, it is news that needs to be shouted from the highest mountain, that our God reigns. Later, he will tell us, see how this God bears his holy arm. And you and I read those verses on a day like today, and we think, all of that might, all of that power that called this universe into existence, all wrapped up in a tiny baby boy lying in swaddling clothes, helpless on the hay. That is what God sends to us. That is God's gift that he intends to use to redeem us. But fortunately, you and I know all of the rest of the details as well. How that little boy grew up, but in a most different way from you and me. As he faced every temptation and every challenge of the human predicament that we live on a daily basis, he never gave in a single time. He was conceived and born holy, flawless, acceptable in his Father's sight. His heavenly Father would mention that numerous times during his life, that this is the Son with whom I am well pleased. God would never proclaim that from heaven in any moment of our lives, not even at our baptism, until after the waters of baptism have been applied. And the righteousness of Christ is what envelops us for God to see us as his own child in that moment. But throughout his life, no matter what era of life, no matter what activity, no matter what chore, what task, what rule, always obedient, always willing, always flawless in his attitude and his application of his skills and opportunities to every situation, including and ultimately the payment for sin through suffering and cross. It's next to impossible to understand the value of this day, this moment, and a reading such as this without going to Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday in our thinking about it. The word redemption takes us there. You see a baby laying in the straw. You see God in human flesh. You see one who has entered into our reality to become one of us for the very purpose of dying, having lived under the law. Every rule, every regulation that applied to him as a human being kept perfectly, but then so much more. In those last hours of his life, the excruciating pain and abandonment of human and divine entities, the physical abuse and the weight of hell itself, everything that you and I and every other human has deserved to know as a reality from God for our sins, our punishment, our enslavement forever, laid on him. And in all of that, never once flinching, never looking away, but rather because his Father said it so, even though he prayed mightily that it not be so, that night before he died, he drank the cup of suffering according to his Father's will, and he drank it to the dregs, remaining flawless and pure and holy every moment of that journey, so that already in regard to his birth, the angels could proclaim that there was peace between God and humanity. It would take another 3 decades more for all of that to be completely fulfilled in the life, the person, the ministry, the suffering and death of this Jesus born in Bethlehem. But that is what God's redemption is all about. And so while you are here to sing your praises, while you are here to confess your trust and belief in God become human flesh in the form of a baby, You are also here to celebrate what it means that God entered into our reality, that we have peace from God. A peace that isn't some nebulous, uncertain thing that we wonder if it's enough, but a peace clearly defined by the word redemption here that helps us understand. A perfect child who continued that perfection into manhood and eventually martyrdom, so that you would have no doubt that as you praise your newborn Savior today, you have payment for your sins. You have freedom from your guilt. You have certainty of life after death. You have a future, an eternal future, with your God, who has done every last thing to pay the ransom price that redeems you from all that you are and all that you have been and said and done, and redeems every other human being around you, so that in any given moment, no matter what might be going on, no matter who might be stealing your peace that you so pursue and desire, you can be certain that their sin and guilt is paid for too, that they are not a slave either, that they also have been freed. And that motivates you to think differently and live differently, because you come to realize that every moment of interaction, especially with the people in your life who steal your peace, that becomes another moment for you to extend God's peace to them. The peace that owns your heart, the peace that owns your mind, because of your certainty of your redemption through Christ, is something that can guide your reactions, your words, your compassion, and your mercy towards others who aren't showing the same to you. Because you know how important this moment is. You see that importance in the angels arriving to sing their songs. You see that importance in so many other details that are recorded for us in the gospel lessons of these days. All of it meant for you and I to find true, lasting, undeniable peace. Not in little momentary respites that the world would offer us, but in one enormously important event that lasted for an entire human lifetime from conception to death, woven together in the beautiful tapestry of obedience to his Father, so that you and I might see it as the holy arm of God laid bare for us to understand in all of its detail, all of its might, and see what it has accomplished for us. Peace. True peace. I pray that for you today, you come to know and understand how the Lord has comforted his people. You are one of his people. He has done this for you. He has given it to you as the best gift you will ever receive. Embrace it. Build all of your hopes and your dreams around it. It will never fail you, for your redemption is complete, and your comfort is real and lasting forever. Amen.